not getting a lot of help, but he's trying to make up for a group of juniors that just really have no ability right now to see past themselves when it comes to what it takes for us to be successful on the tee as a team.
Those are the words from head coach of the IU Hoosiers, Tom Crean. This is the home stretch. I'm Pat Doherty alongside Todd Berlich here on ESPN Radio 102.7. We now welcome in from Assembly Call, Andy Bottoms. He's also a bracketologist. We'll hit him up on that side, on the flip side of this interview. But, Andy, you heard right there, Coach Tom Crean really getting after his team. Post-game bashing, I guess you will, of the leadership or lack thereof for the Hoosiers can go two ways. It could be a good thing. Could be a bad team. Team could shut down. They definitely looked like they shut down in the second half of the home game against Michigan.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they respond. I mean, you would think you're 26 games into the season at this point. I would struggle to think that that's going to be something that really turns things around. But, you know, maybe it's a can't hurt at this point. But I think to me it just poured a little bit of gasoline on the fire of people really kind of getting upset with Crean and starting to think more big picture things, because the short term of what the next game means for this season is starting to become a lot less meaningful than the conversations about, you know, long term what happens with Crean and the program as a whole.
Well, and you kind of mentioned that. I know there was definitely the campaigning almost immediately after the loss. A lot of fans kind of frustrated, not only with the lack of play by the basketball team. And again, we're getting already text messages and tweets that I use unwatchable. Who does the blame fall on? Is it the players? Is it Crean? When you look at him throughout his career at IU, I mean, the numbers aren't blow you away good. 163 wins, 130 losses, just over a 55% winning percentage. He was Big Ten Coach of the Year last year with a 27-8 team, but the postseason success really hasn't been there. A couple of Sweet 16s, three of them. But where does the level, the expectation meet what you're getting from your head coach?
Yeah, it's funny because we've typically been on the postgame show, has been not terribly apt to talk a lot about, you know, big picture coaching type things until the end of the season. And I would say for about the first maybe 8 to 10 minutes of the show yesterday, where we talked about the game a little bit, we spent almost the entire time, quite honestly, you know, talking through that. And when you really look, I feel like we have used the term roller coaster so much in recent years to really describe the program, where you do have the highs of winning the Big Ten twice, but you've also, you know, outside of those years, finished 7th, 8th, and, you know, they're in 10th or projected to be in 10th right now. So it's kind of feast or famine, it feels like. And I think I think that's the part where I kind of get frustrated, and I think a lot of fans do, is you haven't seen any kind of sustained momentum or real kind of building from one year to the next on the, with the program. And so I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes in. I also wouldn't, you know, be so quick to say, hey, this is all on Crean. I mean, there's guys that have been in the system, and there's certainly a level of fight that it felt like Michigan brought to the early part of the game yesterday that I don't think was matched by the majority of the guys that were out there. So a little bit of it falls each way. I think Crean becomes an easy target at that point, and even some of the, you know, comments he made about the players, you know, to a certain sense, you know, those are guys that you brought there. The juniors that are being criticized have played, you know, as much as anybody under this team, and it kind of makes you wonder, like, if you're not able to reach those guys, I think then you can kind of read those comments either way. You can certainly side with it, and I think there's some truth to what he's saying about the players, even though it certainly comes off as pretty harsh. Mm-hmm. I think there's also some blame to go on him, coaching staff, and the way that, you know, this team continues to make the same kinds of mistakes that we've seen really from the onset of the season, from the turnovers and defensive perspective. And so I think there's plenty – any time things are going as poorly as they're going right now, I think there's plenty of blame to go around, I guess.
Once again, we're talking to Andy Bottoms. You can hear him as well as the great Assembly Call show immediately following IU home or IU basketball games, not just home games, but you can check that out as well. Andy, when you look at if Crean's not the answer, I guess I'm scratching my head to look at who would be. Is there a coach out there that you think would leave a current position and be a great fit to be the next IU coach? I mean, I know that's kind of putting you on the spot, but I was kind of going through different scenarios in my mind, and I don't know who is the next person.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Ryan Phillips, who's also on the show and writes for thebigleague.com, had a post saying that IU should go after Billy Donovan, that maybe there's some chance he's not all that happy in Oklahoma City, and maybe he's putting some feelers out to colleges as, you know, he kind of take that job with the thought you're going to have Durant and Westbrook there. Now you've only got one of those guys. What does that really look like? I don't know how realistic any of that is, but I think it's a name that would get people excited that's got a proven track record, because when you really look around and think about, you know, some of the other, you know, up-and-coming coaches, I think Archie Miller's from Dayton's name gets thrown around a lot, but I don't know whether people are going to get super excited about a guy who's really taken a pretty huge step up from a program standpoint. And if you take a swing at that and he's the right guy, then you look great, but you could easily swing and miss on some of that. You know, I think Greg Marshall from Wichita State gets thrown around a bit. Anything I've heard about him, I'm not sure what kind of mix he would really be with the, you know, constant scrutiny and all the other things that come along with the program. So, yeah, I don't think there's a slam dunk answer, and I think that complicates things a little bit more in that, you know, making a move for the sake of making a move and then, you know, having to turn around and do the same thing again in a few years is not in anybody's best interest either. So I think it would have to be a pretty compelling, you know, person who would be able to come in to kind of fill the shoes to make it a move that you'd really want to make. And so certainly not one you pick lightly under any circumstances. But, yeah, I would agree with you that there aren't a lot of names kind of screaming from the rooftops. It seemed like they would be, one, available, and two, a great fit.
The age we live in, running guys out the door in the middle of February, right, Andy? We're talking to Andy Bottoms. You can find his work at Assembly Call on Twitter. Andy, so Hoosiers 1-5 on the road so far, limping along at 5-8 in conference play, 4 of the last 5 regular season games on the road. Is there any chance for this team to turn around and make a serious bid at an NCAA tournament appearance?
I mean, anything I've looked at would suggest they've really got to get back to 500 in the Big Ten, which entails going 4-1 in those games. I think we saw with the selection committee's reveal, gave some window into their thoughts about the Big Ten with neither Wisconsin or Purdue being in those top 4 seed lines, which I don't necessarily, from a bracketology perspective, disagree with, but I think it kind of tells you that, you know, Big Ten teams in general might be behind the 8-ball a bit. So, you know, for this team that has lost 5-6 and could just as easily be 3-10 in the Big Ten if they lose both those Penn State games, feels like a pretty big stretch to turn around and say they're going to win 4 out of 5 down the stretch with 4 of those 5, also away from home where they haven't played well this season. So in the sense that there are games to be played and there are opportunities to pick up some wins that would enhance their case, I'd say yes, there is a chance. But when you layer over that the way that the team has played over the last month and really the fact that they've beaten, you know, one tournament caliber team since November 30th in the Michigan State game, it makes it seem like a bridge too far.
Couldn't agree with you more. Andy Bottoms, you can hear him as a co-host of Assembly Call. Follow him on Twitter as well, at Andy Bottoms. We will hit you up as we get closer to the tournament and pick your brain and some of the bracketology information again as we try to figure out what March looks like. But appreciate you coming on the show, man.
All right. Anytime.